The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
And at 7:18 a.m., they're literally talking about me when all 46 machines that I was on in a long, random, simultaneous sound just went beep. And I died laying right in front of them. All the other doctors and nurses come rushing in. This 70-pound nurse, soaking wet, just jumps on top of my body and just starts King Kong in my chest.
Gary Miracle thought he had a bad case of the flu, but his illness was much more severe. Next.
Welcome to Life Today. I'm Randy Robinson. Tammy is with me.
And yes.
Tammy, you know, when I first heard our guest's story, it's a tough one.
It'll hard.
It'll break your heart.
It really is hard, and it's kind of one of those, it brings up that question of like, so it's easy to trust God when everything's going great in
right,
our lives, but what do we do when we hit the bad days, when something really just changes and the rug is pulled from underneath us? How do we lean into the faithfulness of God in the hard times, in the hard seasons?
Yeah, well, we're going to talk about that today. Our guest is Gary Miracle, and his book is No More Bad Days. And listen, this is a guy who has seen some bad days, but he's writing about some good things. Gary, great to have you on Life Today.
Goodness gracious, guys. This is a bucket list moment for me. I am so honored that you guys are giving me this time and creating this platform. I'm thankful.
All right. So for those who don't know anything about you, back us up a little bit. And I know we can't get the whole story in this short period of time, but give us an idea of what you've been through.
Sure. So 4 years ago, I was 39 years old. And I would say up until that point in my life, I was living, I guess you would say, what you would call the all-American dream. You know, I had a beautiful work-from-home job. I had, my wife at the time was a stay-at-home mom with three biological boys, an adopted daughter from Columbia, South America, growing up in the church. Like, we couldn't write a better story, right?
Yeah.
But then I think we say sometimes, but God, right? Like, he kind of intervened. So it was the day after Christmas, December 26th in 2019. I woke up and I wasn't feeling great. I ended up taking myself to the emergency room and got there. They asked me a series of questions, and at the end of that line of questioning, they told me I had the flu, and they chalked me up to that, and they gave me a Tamiflu shot and a steroid shot, and they gave me the whole go home, get a lot of rest, drink a lot of water. If you're not better in 10 days, come back and see us again, right? So I went home, woke up the next morning, December 27th, feeling much worse, but tried to be a man, you know, stiffen up my upper lip a little bit. Everybody was making fun of me. They told me I had the man flu. They were just, I was moaning and groaning the whole time. That was okay. But I was feeling much worse, so much so that I swallowed my pride, and I took myself back to the emergency room for a second time, and come to find out, I was having an allergic reaction to the Tamiflu shot that they gave me a day before. So they gave me another steroid shot to counteract that. A couple days went by, and New Year's Eve, 2019, I ended up going back to the emergency room for the fourth time. So I skipped a visit here, but at this time, they looked at me and they put me in the back room and they hooked me up to some machines, 46 of them to be exact. So I had a positive flu test, and I had developed strep throat that got into my bloodstream, and the strep caused the blood infection and caused the septic shock to take place, and it went rampant. And once I got hooked up to those machines, they looked at me and then they looked at my family and they said, you need to call the rest of your family and all of Gary's friends to come in and say goodbye.
Wow.
They actually gave me a 1.7% chance to live through the night of New Year's Eve 2019. My family and friends did exactly what they were asked to do. They came to say goodbye. Like, everyone was just shocked. Like, I was just celebrating Christmas Day with my family. You know, Christmas in 2019 fell on a Sunday, so we were at church, you know, even celebrating that time. And then 5 days later, I'm getting a 1.7% chance to live, and they don't think I'm going to make it through the night on New Year's Eve. And as my family and friends were driving in, one of my family members at the time was actually living in Orlando, and she was driving in, and while she was driving in, she felt like she heard from the Lord that I needed to be on an ECMO machine. I'd never heard of an ECMO machine at the time. I'll tell you what it is in just a second, but she arrived at the hospital and said, okay, this might sound crazy, but I feel like I just heard from the Lord, Gary needs to be on ECMO. And before she could finish that sentence, they let her know that they didn't have an ECMO machine at the hospital that I was at. But they said, we're minute by minute with this guy, and we're at the end of our rope. So if you think he needs to be transferred somewhere, just let us know, and we'll initiate that transfer. So they sat down and started researching. And at that time, on New Year's Eve 2019 in Florida, there were only 7 hospitals in the whole state that had an ECMO machine. And one of them happened to be in Orlando. So they initiated that transfer. And at 11 p.m. on New Year's Eve, so literally 1 hour before everyone here on the East Coast was about to scream and shout and celebrate Happy New Year, I'm being shoved into a helicopter to be life-flighted from one hospital to Orlando. And I arrived there around 1 a.m. Now we're on January 1st, 2020, the best year of all of our lives, right? So I arrived there. They rushed me from the helicopter into the hospital, into the ICU floor where my bed was going to be. They hooked me up to the same 46 machines, looked at my family once that happened, confirmed the 1.7% chance to live and said, why is this guy here? And my family said, well, we're here because we believe that Gary needs to be on an ECMO machine. And once again, before they could finish that sentence, they were informed that I was not a candidate for the ECMO machine. The reason I was not a candidate for the machine is because it is designed for people who just received a heart transplant or a lung transplant. And it's designed to keep your other organs running strong while your new heart or your new lungs kick in.
Huh.
Well, I didn't have a heart transplant or a lung transplant. So on paper, if you're looking at policy over people, I was not a candidate for the ECMO machine. Like, they weren't wrong. So why, God, like, why in the world did all of this just happen? And just for me to die here instead of there and now leave my family with all of these bills and just so on and so forth, like, what is happening? But the nurses and doctors reassured my family by telling them they would make me as comfortable as possible along the way. So thanks for that. 7 a.m. rolls around and I'm still kicking. And the new day shift of nurses and doctors clock in at 7:18 a.m. They're literally talking about me when all 46 machines that I was on in a long, random, simultaneous sound just went beep. And I died laying right in front of them, completely lifeless. And they said it was just like out of the movies. Within 30 seconds, my whole body started turning blue. Code blue came over all of the speakers, and all the other doctors and nurses come rushing in. This 70-pound nurse, soaking wet, just jumps on top of my body and just starts King Kong in my chest just to try to bring anything back. And 11 minutes later, at 7:29 a.m., they looked up at one of the machines and they found a slight pulse. And they had brought me back in that moment. And while they were walking out to the waiting room to tell my family what had just happened to me, the cardiothoracic surgeon who was on call that night joined them in that moment to go out to the waiting room. And while they were talking to my family, updating them, this cardiothoracic surgeon said, listen, I'm just getting involved in this case. I'm learning about it. I know we're minute by minute. I don't know what we're gonna do here. So I'm gonna throw up a Hail Mary and put him on something called the ECMO machine. And
wow.
It's as if God just showed up in that moment, right? And the way that it works is it takes all of the blood and all of the oxygen and all of the circulation from your body, and it pumps it into your core to keep your organs running strong while everything else kicks in. Well, doctors are pretty good at what they do these days. So most new hearts or new lungs kick in about 24 hours, 48 at most. So people aren't on ECMO for very long. I was in a coma from January 1st until January 10th. So for 10 days, I was in a coma on the ECMO machine, which means for 10 days, my arms and my legs were not receiving any blood or oxygen or circulation because everything was pumped into my core. So my arms and legs just started dying on me, and so much so that they could not save them. And my family had to make a decision on my behalf. Do I lose my life or do I lose my limbs? And here I am, alive without the limbs.
So both arms from just below the elbow, both legs from just below the knee.
Yes, sir.
Where does that leave you? I mean, because on the one hand, we could say, wow, what a miracle, no pun intended, that you know, God used the doctors or miraculously intervened, gave someone, you know, family member knowledge, saved your life. And on the other hand, we could look at it and go, well, you know, now you got to live in a whole new way that's traumatic.
Yeah.
How do you look at it?
So I grew up in the church, I became a Christian when I was 11 years old, and I remember I was sitting in the third row pew on the right-hand side of Rockledge Baptist Church, where Pastor Randy Sensabaugh was on stage giving a 2 to 3 minute call to worship, and I said the prayer that we all say all of our lives in that moment, you know, "Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner, come into my heart." Pastor Randy let us know in that moment that Jesus is the answer. I mean, I was 11, so I didn't know what the questions were in that moment, but I knew the answer then. And then here I am at 42, and what I've learned along the way is that Jesus is the answer. And I say that to kind of tee this up to say, like, I'm not some super Christian who's going to give you the Sunday school answers to everything that is asked and speak that Christianese language kind of thing. But in that moment when I was learning the gravity of my situation and that I was about to lose all four of my limbs, I remember looking up at my dad, and there's a verse in the book of Job that says, "The Lord gives and the Lord takes away." And what I had learned in that moment, laying on my hospital bed, learning that I was about to get my arms and my legs cut off, was that for 39 years of my life, the Lord had given me hands and legs, and I had used them for everything that he wanted me to, a lot that he didn't as well. But in that moment, it was just taking away time. You know, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. And for 39 years, he gave me hands and legs. So I'm just praying that I get another 39 years without him and I get to be the same story. But thank God that verse doesn't end there, because it says the Lord gives and the Lord takes away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. And,
hallelujah.
You know, growing up in the church, I've been saying that God is good and preaching that God is good and trying to convince other people that God is good. So how dare I, now that something traumatic is happening to me in my life, now live like he's no longer good? That's just not a stance that I'm willing to take in life
It's a hard place to be,
don't you think,
Gary? It's really hard. I mean, I think even backing up to that scripture, the Lord gives and he takes away. So I think about my own loss and losing Trent. He gave me a great gift in this man for so many years, and then he was gone. I've had to reconcile that scripture even in such a way of to say, I don't believe in my story that God took Trent away from me. But I believe that things were allowed to happen because he saw that it would serve a greater purpose in my life. And when I think about taking, like, if something falls away, like in my story without Trent, God is going to replace it with something greater, something better for your life. So even when I think about him giving and taking, I think of a good God that wanted to give to your life, not to take something from you, but life happens too. So life happened to you and it was tough, but what God is doing in your life now is magnificent. And the man of God that you are becoming now through all of this is amazing. God has given you such a redemption in your story. So tell me about that, where you've gotten to that place.
Yeah, you know, when I was discharged after my 107-day stay in the hospital, I just knew in that moment that I was confident that the Lord, this was a part of my story, right?
Yeah.
My world's not falling apart. It's falling into place. And I am okay with a God that orchestrates that out. So I want to be okay with that. Sometimes I'm not, right? But I really, really want to be okay with that most of the time. And I want to be real with people about that too. Like, you know, some days as a whole, listen, this is not a detachment of reality or some religious jargon. I get that we're going to have tough situations and there's going to be hard times and there's bad outcomes to things. But listen, if it's true that if scripture is true, that if Christ's mercies are new every single day, if his mercies are new every morning, and I am Christ in me, if Galatians 2:20 is correct and it is no longer me, then that means you guys aren't sitting here talking to Gary Miracle. You're talking to Christ in Gary Miracle. Like, that is who I am. That is my identity. And if that is true and his mercies are new every day and I'm Christ in Gary Miracle, then I can lay my head on my pillow at the end of every day and say, as a whole, from here on out, I don't want to have any more bad days. You know, Christ is good. He is good to me. He didn't mess up on me.
Amen.
He didn't make a mistake on me.
Amen.
Society wants to tell me every which way that I am not enough, that I am not good looking enough, that I don't speak well enough, that I am not pretty enough, fast enough, good, like whatever the case may be. Society just wants to inundate us with that. And I don't think we cheer each other on enough. You know, I think we talk about the things that can divide us too much, way more than we talk about the things that can unite us. And that's our stories and what Christ has done. And Christ didn't stop taking away, even when I got out of the hospital. My wife at the time that I keep referencing, you know, took another path, and God is continuing to redeem my story. And I have a beautiful new wife. Her name is Jenna, and we have a beautiful, crazy circus of a blended family of seven children that we have under our roof. And we're so thankful for what God is continuing to do. And we're just continuing to pray that my story just doesn't go in vain along the way, that I can continue to just shout it if I can.
Yeah. You know,
it's an amazing testimony. Mm-hmm. Miracle is your real last
that
name.
That is not my amputee stage name. That is my real last name.
Your whole life, which is really wild. But there's one thing I need to ask you about before mm-hmm. we let you go, before we wrap it up. You talk about the gift of grace. Yeah. And we see that when things are going great. Oh, yeah. You know, I'm blessed. Hashtag blessed. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where do you see the gift of grace when things are not going so well?
Yeah. Gosh. Mm-hmm. You know, I've learned along the way that at the end of the day, every single one of us, we all have struggles in our lives. Like, we're all struggling with something. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're not right now, that's wonderful, but buckle up, right? Like, it's right. We're told in this world you will have trouble, so it shouldn't be a surprise to us. And you know, we all have struggles. And I would venture to say that the only difference between me and you right now is that my struggles are extremely visible. Mm-hmm. You can see them. You could see, if you were in the back with me earlier, how difficult it was for me to eat a sub or take a drink or whatever the case may be. And if you guys were with me tonight and we were out to dinner, if we were at a restaurant while we were eating, there's probably a really good chance throughout that meal at some point in time, I'm going to drop my fork. Like, it's a hands thing. You wouldn't understand, but I'd drop my fork, and I'd guarantee you, without even thinking, and joy in your heart and a smile on your face, you would bend down and pick up that fork and you would hand it back to me. For whatever your reasons may be, I don't know, to save me the embarrassment, to serve me, to just muscle memory, you see a need and you do it, and whatever, I don't know. But I would believe that you would do that for me, and I want to do that for other people. But if I don't know what your struggle is, then I don't know how to pick up your fork and hand it back to you. But those invisible struggles, I believe, the ones that you can't see, I genuinely believe can kill us more than septic shock or multi-system organ failure. But anxiety in today's day and age is a very real thing. And depression, eating disorders, and relationships, and finances. And I could go on and on and on and on about invisible struggles. And I think Christians, we put that it's fine mask on our face. And we tell each other, you know, everything's fine. I'm fine. I'm fine. Wife, kids are fine. Fine as fine can be. Like that. Like, that's kind of our anthem sometimes as Christians, because we're scared to death to let people know who we really are or what we're really struggling with. And, you know, I tell people all the time through this that, you know, if your hope is hard to find, you can borrow mine, because what I've learned along the way is that I've never been more loved in all of my life through the sharing of my struggles when I thought I would be judged.
Yeah.
And if I can get one person to take that mask off, and because I'm going to be okay, y'all. Like, I got legs. I'm walking in here. I got my driver's license back. Like, I'm going to be okay. But if anxiety eats you alive, you're not going to be okay. And I need to know that as your brother in Christ. Like, I need to know that because I want to link arms with you, because I had people all over the world link arms with me. And I believe that they prayed me out of heaven, and Christ isn't done with me here yet. So I'm going to be okay. And if I can get one person to take that mask off and meet Jesus for the first time, or for the 100th time, I could care less than bring this on. I would do it all over again. And I'm not just saying that as some Christian, because I'm going to be all right. There's going to be a day that I'm going to be running down those streets of gold as fast as I can with my brand new legs and my brand new arms, and I'm going to be all right. But I need everybody to come with me. I want everybody there to see me racing down those streets.
Well, Gary, that is grace just for you to be able to say that. Mm-hmm. God working in you. And by the way, if you're listening and you want somebody to pray with you, you want to make sure you're running down those streets of gold, maybe you're struggling with something inside. Scripture says, don't fear that which can kill the body. Fear that which can kill the soul. If you're dying inside, pick up that phone. Use that phone number. Somebody will pray with you. Somebody will talk with you. So do it. I mean, listen to Gary. He knows what he's talking about. He's been through bad days, but he's got hope. And you can too. If you would like Gary's book, No More Bad Days, just request it when you help us give some other people a good day. There are some people there that right now, I mean, they need someone, to use Gary's metaphor, to pick up their fork. They need a helping hand. They need someone to love them, to show them the love of Christ while they're telling them about the love of Christ, which is what we do. Watch this and you'll see how.
How many children do you have?
I have five children, but one of them is dead, so I remain with four.
Left with four. I'm so sorry. I don't understand all the things that happen physiologically, but the mother recognizes the same signs in her 9-month-old that she saw in her 1.5-year-old son before he died. This is the urgency that we're facing right now. This is the reality in places just like this. They need clean water, and they need it now. If someone was able to bring clean water to your village, what would you say to that person? If this little one has any hope for a future, we have to provide an alternative, because drinking this water is death. We want to give mothers like this hope for their children. I'm asking you to reach out and give the best gift you can. Support Mission Water for Life, and know that when you do, you will be helping little ones just like this. We have a choice today. Those hands that hold those small children can be used to bury that child. And unfortunately, that is the case. But those hands can also clap with joy. And they will do it when you and I come together and we go into those places of desperation and we drill that water well and we bring clean, life-giving water out of God's ground, and it turns those situations around. We've done this in so many places with your support. You've made it possible, but there are still places where children are dying, and that's why the need is urgent. We need to go in there right now, as soon as possible, and give them the water. And Tammy, we have seen this, so we know it works, but we also, you have seen the need. We know it's desperate.
Yeah, it's heavy, Randy. Yeah. It's, you know, when I see a piece like that too, and you sitting right next to her, it makes my heart happy in the moment to know that you had a moment to minister to her and just love on her and her family. I think that's one thing I love so much about our ministry too, is the ministry that happens, the love that we get to share with these incredible families that are hurting so desperately. They need hope. And I don't want to give them a false hope by going into those villages and just hugging them for a moment and leaving. I want to bring them real hope, something tangible. And we leave there and we tell them, like, we're going to go back and we're going to tell everybody about you. We're going to raise awareness to this need right here that you have. We want you to be filled with joy. We want to be a part of that. And we want you to be a part of that with us today. Would you go online? Would you make a call? Would you give the best gift you possibly can today, even if you've given before? Today's a brand new day, and with it comes a brand new need and another life to save. Would you go online and make that call and join with us today?
Yeah, and we can do it. And you know, I love, Tammy, that you point out, when we go into these places, we're not under any illusion that we're going to solve the entire issue in the whole world. What we do know is that we're going to go in, we're going to represent Christ to somebody. And we're going to show them the love of Christ, and we're also going to meet their basic needs.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, this is more than just, you know, a humanitarian outreach.
Right.
It is a ministry.
Oh, and I love it so much.
And it has more than just a short-term benefit, though it does. It has eternal benefit. Mm-hmm. So will you help us go in spiritually and physically? Let's meet the spiritual needs. Let's meet the practical needs. Your gift right now of $48 will help provide clean drinking water for 10 people. The average cost of a well, you see, is $4,800. So if you want to provide a whole well, come on, let's do it. Let's do it for a village of about 1,000 people for about 70 years. That's why we call it Water for Life. But however you can come in, a gift of $144 will provide clean drinking water for, on average, about 30 people. Whatever you can do, it's about going in with the love of Christ, meeting that practical need, giving them water for their bodies so that they can live, and sharing the water of life with them. So please, join us in this beautiful mission of Christ, Water for Life. Go online, go to the phone, make the best gift you can.
Every day, thousands of lives are lost to waterborne disease, and nearly half of those are children under the age of 5. Through Mission Water for Life, you can give mothers hope and children a future as we provide clean, life-giving water for thousands of children and their families before it's too late. With your gift today, you can help drill and establish 350 water wells this year. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 children. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10. $72 will provide for 15. And $144 will help provide life-giving water for 30 people for a lifetime. With a gift of any amount, we'll send you Daughter, written by James and Betty's granddaughter, Lainey Renee. This insightful book invites all girls and women to walk in the freedom of their God-given identity and embrace who they really are. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request the Great is the Lord decorative blanket, featuring the words of Psalm 145:3. This beautiful blanket is perfect for comfort in cold weather and a reminder of your help with Water for Life. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well and request our new bronze sculpture, A Cup of Water, inspired by Jesus' words in Mark 9:41. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
You really can bring joy to someone who is in so much need. You can be the love of Christ in someone's life in word and deed. I hope you'll go to the phone, make the best gift you can, or go online. Sometimes that's a lot easier. And when you do, if you want Gary's book, be sure to request it, Tammy. I know it will bless them just like he's blessed us today.
You have blessed us so much, Gary. Mm-hmm. Thank you for your life. Thank you for fighting for life. And if you find that you're in a place right now where bad things are happening all around you, go to the Father. Pray that God would give you a faith in this season, and that He would bring you perfect, perfect peace. We love you. We love you, Gary. We'll see you next time on Life Today.
Stress had so overwhelmed my body that my body said, enough, and it shut down.
Vance Pittman helps you live the stressless life tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.